chapter 14. And our text for this morning is the verse 13. We have dealt with this verse before in this particular series, where we emphasized the need to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." I want to look at the second part of that verse today. The Lord says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I want us to consider how God is glorified in our prayers that the Lord is pleased to answer. "For whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? The answer to that question is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But then we may wonder, how are we to glorify God? How can we glorify God? Well, the answer to the second question in the Shorter Catechism reveals that to us. The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. So if we want to know how to glorify God and enjoy Him, we must turn to the Scriptures. The Scriptures teach us how we are to glorify God. And a study of the Scriptures will reveal that to glorify God and to enjoy Him, we must first of all live for the Lord. You want to glorify God in your life? And you must live for the Lord. The life of the Christian should be lived to the glory of God. That is something that the Apostle Paul exhorts us to do. For there in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, Paul says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that word "whatsoever" just about covers everything in the Christian life. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That is a good safeguard against anything in life which may be questionable. We're about to do something, and maybe we're not too sure about it. Well, here's the litmus test. Whatever I do, will it glorify God? If I go ahead and do what I'm thinking about, will it glorify God? Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We do not want to do anything that would dishonor the name of our Lord. So let our walk in this world be to the glory of God. Let our work For the Lord be to the glory of God. And let our witness for the Lord in this world be to the glory of God. As Paul has said again, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that every tongue should confess Christ. And in confessing Christ, it is to be to the glory of God the Father. Our walk and our work and our witness. We're to live in such a way that our lives glorify God. That's a good test, isn't it? We can ask ourselves, is my life glorifying God? All that I do, does it glorify God? If we want to glorify God in this evil world, we must live for the Lord. And we must also strive to be like the Lord. Consider the life of Christ. Consider the life of the Savior, and we see that what he did, whatever he did, whatever he did, whatever he said, was always to the glory of God, to his heavenly Father. John 13, there in verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus, that's when Judas went out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. In other words, the Lord now is only, as it were, a few footsteps away from Calvary. A few steps away from suffering. And that's what he's talking about. Now is the Son of Man glorified. And the Lord Jesus went on to say, God is glorified in him. The dear Savior knew that in going to the cross and what he would do there and what he would accomplish there would glorify the Father, would glorify God. Christ is our great example. And so let us endeavor by his grace to be like the Lord. For all that the Savior did, God was glorified in it. And what a word is this? And what a witness! God is glorified in him. Oh, wouldn't it be good to have that testimony? When someone looks upon us and looks upon our life, and say, God is glorified in that man. Or God is glorified in that woman. Because that man and that woman, they live for the Lord. And they endeavor to glorify the Lord in all that they do. And that will take place if we bear a resemblance and a likeness to Christ. Because everything he did, he glorified God. We must live for the Lord. We must bear a likeness to the Lord. And here this text of Scripture tells us that we glorify God in looking to the Lord. That is, in looking to the Lord in prayer. We read the verse again. The Lord said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we look to the Lord in prayer, and when prayer is answered, God is glorified. So when it comes to praying, let us keep that in mind. That when we go to prayer, we're going to engage in prayer with the earnest desire that God will be glorified in the answer. How often do we really think about it, about prayer in that way? Yes, when we pray, we're thinking about getting an answer to ease our trials and troubles. That's the first thing that's usually upon our minds. But here the Lord says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, yes, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And we cannot glorify the Father without the Son. A man who doesn't know Christ cannot glorify God with his life. We need to know the Son. We need to be in Christ if we are going to glorify the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what I want to consider with the Lord's help this morning. And what the Lord here says with regard to prayer. Here's something else that he taught his disciples about prayer. He didn't teach them all the lessons about prayer when they were gathered together in one place, as we have in Luke 11. No, but throughout his 3.5 years of ministry, and the Lord's preaching and teaching, he was always teaching lessons about prayer. Here's another. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, we need to pray in the Lord's name. The Lord says, that will I do. But then he says, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What we have here, first of all, are the requests. In prayer, the request, whatsoever. We can see from these words how the glory of God is inseparably linked to Christ through our prayers. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. As was said, in prayer, you cannot separate Christ from the Father. We pray in the Lord's name, and the Lord says, I will answer, and the Father will be glorified in the answer. Praying in the Savior's name will lead to answers which will get, in turn lead to God being glorified. You look at those words and you have the scope of the request. The Lord said, whatsoever. There's the scope. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That word whatsoever is wide enough to embrace every trial, every trouble, and every test of our faith. Whatsoever. Every request we bring to Him, every petition that we present to Him, every desire that we make and may ask of Him, the Lord says, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And with every doing, that will I do. And with every doing, in answer to prayer, the Father will be glorified. We've dealt with that part of the verse before. Whatsoever, wide enough to take in every need that we have. And the Lord says, that will I do. I'll do it. And I'll do it that the Father may be glorified. As well as the scope, there is the simplicity. The Lord said, and whatsoever ye shall ask, there's the simplicity of it. We simply ask. The simplicity is found there in that one word, ask. We remember what the Savior said about asking in prayer. Go back to Luke chapter 11, where we commenced this particular study, Luke 11, when the disciples asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. And in response, the Lord gave them the pattern for prayer. And then he gave them a parable about prayer. And we read there in Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And again, as we pointed out then, when we looked at those words, there's nothing complicated there. The Lord doesn't use any big words that we don't understand. We don't need to go to a dictionary to understand the meaning of the word ask. There's the simplicity. And what the Lord was teaching here was persevering in prayer, being persistent and constant. And if you don't get the answer immediately, then go on asking. But the Lord did say, ask and you shall receive. And here the Lord again says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. It seems such a simple way for us to glorify God. God's people, we want to glorify our Heavenly Father. And here's a simple way of doing it. Asking. Coming before the Lord in prayer and asking, and the Lord says, ask, and it shall be given. Ask, and God will be glorified in the answer. That's the bit we want to get a hold of. God will be glorified in the answer. And everyone that asketh receiveth, and God will be glorified in our receiving. The Holy Spirit will be given to them that ask. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? And in the giving of the Holy Spirit, God is glorified in the answer. And again, the Savior said in Matthew 7 and verse 11, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? How much more shall he give the good things to them that ask him? And once again, God is glorified as a result of the good things being given to us in answer to prayer. Would that then not lead us to ask more? Would that not lead us to ask more and more in prayer? And in turn, would that not lead us to pray more? For the more we pray, the more answers we will receive, and the more God will be glorified. God will be glorified whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. There's the scope whatsoever. There's the simplicity. Ask. And then there's the Savior, because the Lord says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Not the name of a church. Not the name of a denomination. We ask in the name of the Lord. That's what he has said. As we read in John 15 and verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16, verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26, in that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, but I will pray the Father for you. Notice the number of times again that the Lord repeats the word ask. Focusing on the fact that we simply ask. Yeah, we may spend the time, a protracted time in prayer, but what do we do during that time? We just ask. We may agonize in prayer, but we're still asking. And we're asking in the Lord's name. Praying in the name of the Savior brings answers to our prayers. When we pray in the Savior's name, it's like the Lord doing the asking, because we're praying in his name and we're in Christ. And if we pray in the Lord's name, being in Christ, then we know that the Lord hears us. Because God always hears the prayers of his Son, and we are in his Son. And we pray in his name. John 11, verse 41 and 42. I thank thee, as the Savior in prayer, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Son is saying to his father, I know that thou dost hear me always. And if we are in Christ and we pray in the Lord's name, what does that tell us? That tells us the Lord hears us always. As we read in Psalm 116, there in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. David says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. And he would call. The Lord inclined. The Lord hears the cry of his children. I've used that illustration before. When our youngest son Stephen was a baby, he was ill, suffered from convulsions, and we had to take him into hospital. He was in hospital a few days, and a wife would stay one night, and then I would stay the other. I remember lying in the little annex, the little room off the children's ward. And of course, you hear the babies crying all night. And I remember lying down there and dozing off to sleep. And then I suddenly awakened. What was it awakened to? It was the cry of our son Stephen. And all the children that were there in the ward, I recognized Stephen's voice. That's the voice, that was the cry that awakened me. And I thought, isn't that just like the Lord? Isn't that just like our Heavenly Father? He hears the cry of His children. He hears the cry of those children that are His and belong to Him. And He hears us always, as He hears the voice of Christ always. We're in Him. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, unto their cries. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open. Not will be open, they are open. They're open now. They're open now. They're always open. Listening for the cry of His children. And when He answers, God is glorified. Let's always keep that in mind. We have the request in prayer, then we have the response to prayer. When the Savior said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That will I do. There's His response. The Lord is saying, I will respond to your cry. The Lord is saying, I will answer your prayers. And I will answer your prayers that the Father may be glorified. That the Father may be glorified. This speaks to us then of His power. His power. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That tells me that Christ has the power to do whatever we ask. He has the power to do whatever we ask. The Lord didn't say, if ye ask some things in my name, I will do that. No. No, He said, whatsoever you shall ask. That is limitless. Limitless. There's no limit then that we find in that word, whatsoever. Which means the Lord has the power and He has the ability to do whatsoever we ask in His name. Isn't that just tremendous? We go to the place of prayer sometimes and we may not admit it, but our mind and our heart is filled with doubts. I'm going to pray about a certain matter, but really, I don't know if the Lord will answer or not. I don't know if the Lord will be able to answer this prayer. Isn't that right? Oh, I'll not admit it, but it's there. Now we need then to have these words of the Savior sink deep into our hearts. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That tells me He has the power to do it. whatever need we have, no matter how great it is. Maybe it's a need that completely overwhelms us. You know, one of those needs that we have, we wonder how we can even face the next day. It is such a need. But listen, the Lord says, whatsoever. That would include that need. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Because he's the power. He's the power to do it. And we have no need. Listen, we have no need that is greater than Christ's ability to meet that need. There's nothing that we can ask of the Lord that the Lord would say, no, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. Sure, isn't he the great miracle worker? Isn't he able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? He has the power and the ability to do it. There's not a mountain in our lives, no matter how great that mountain is, that God cannot move that mountain because he has the power. There's not an obstacle that stands in our way, that obstructs our pathway and our progress, that our God is not able to remove, because he has the power. And listen, when he puts forth that power in answer to prayer, God is glorified. God is glorified. God is glorified. What is the chief end of man? Why, it is to glorify God. How do we glorify him? We've already seen that, but that also includes prayer. We glorify God through our prayers. When we pray, the Lord says, if you pray in my name, I will do it. Because I have the power to do it, and in the doing of it, God will be glorified. You couldn't beat that. And greater the deliverance that comes to us through answered prayer, greater the deliverance, greater the answer, greater will be the glory that will be given to our God. That's what took place at the Red Sea. You recall, there they were, children of Israel. Pharaoh's armies in pursuit. Mountains on either side, the Red Sea in front. There was nowhere to go. And then we read in Exodus 14 and verse 10, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Did the Lord answer? Did the Lord have the power to make a way where there was no way before? Did he have the power to do that? Of course he did. Because he is the Almighty. And we read then, who was given the glory when God reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away? We read in Exodus 14 and verse 30, and the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the shore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and the servant. God was given the glory. And here we are still talking about it today. That the Lord reached down his mighty arm and put forth his power and divided the waters of the Red Sea. And every Israelite went through on dry ground. The Lord not only divided the waters of the sea, but he dried up the ground so the children of Israel could walk across. And God was glorified. Because he answered the prayers of the children of Israel. And what man thought was impossible, God did it and answered the prayer. Why? Because he has the power. He has the power to do whatsoever we ask of him. And the more difficult the problem, the more glory God receives in the answer. That would surely prompt us to pray more, would it not? As well as the power, there's also the promise. Here the Lord gives us a promise that he will do whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified in us. This is promise. You ask in my name, that will I do. The Father will be glorified through what the Son will do for his people in answer to prayer. So the promises, when fulfilled by Christ in answer to prayer, will glorify the Father. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. There's it again. When Christ fulfills his promises, God is glorified. All the promises that have been given will be fulfilled by Christ and in Christ. And with every fulfilling, God will be glorified. And so let us lay hold upon the promise spoken by Christ. That will I do. Knowing that every time the Lord answers prayer, he has kept his promise. And God is glorified. There's the power. There's the promise. And there's something here that's very personal. Something is personal. There is something very personal here in the Savior's word. He said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. If you ask in my name, if you ask me to do something, I will do it. That's personal, isn't it? In other words, it's as if the Lord said, whatever you ask of me in my name, I'll take care of it personally. I'll deal with it personally. I'll deal with it personally. I'm sure through life, we have all, at some time or another, been let down by somebody. We've asked them to do something, some particular matter. We say, oh yeah, You can leave it with me. I'll do that. But then it's never done. They've let us down. They have let us down. But when the Savior says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. You can depend on him. He'll do it. He'll take care of the business personally. Because he always keeps his word. Praise his name. He always keeps his word because he is able to do whatsoever we ask. Because in doing what he has promised, his Father, our Father, my Father, will be glorified. You can depend on that. The Lord will never let you down. No matter what you ask him, no matter what you ask him, because he has said whatsoever, no matter what you ask him, he says, I will do it. I'll never let you down. And I'm sure every Christian here this morning. If we were to have a testimony meeting, I believe every Christian could stand up and say, in all the years I have known the Lord, he has never failed me. He has never let me down. He has never broken his word. He has always kept his word. He has never abandoned me. He has never left me alone. If he says, I'll be with thee, even unto the end of the world. But you know you can depend on that. All the world may forsake you. And all the world may leave you. But there's one person who will never leave you. And that's one you can always depend upon. And whatever the Lord does, his Father, our Father, is glorified. We've been looking at the miracles of the Master. And as we've considered the various miracles wrought by the Lord, he was given the glory. The person perhaps who was healed of a disease, some infirmity, when the Lord healed that person, God was glorified. Read in Matthew 9 and verse 8, and when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God. They glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Of course, they didn't recognize that Christ is God, but they glorified God through what Christ did. You can go over and look at all those miracles and time again. It's the same thing, it's the same testimony, it's the same witness. They gave glory to God. And when the Lord Jesus does for us what he has promised to do, when we ask in his name, God is glorified. Praise his name. In the last place, we have the request and prayer. We have the response to prayer. And then we have the result of prayer. The result of praying in the Savior's name is receiving an answer. And in receiving an answer, the Father is glorified. There's the result. That's the result there. Because we see, first of all, the purpose. We may ask ourselves why the Lord answers our prayers. To that question, we may be given a number of answers. Why does the Lord answer my prayer? Why does the Lord answer your prayers? Well, the Lord Jesus gives us his answer to that question. We may say reverently this morning, dear Lord Jesus, why dost thou answer my prayers? You know what he'll say? That the Father may be glorified. That's his answer. Why does the Lord answer our prayer? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. There you have it. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why does the Lord answer prayer? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's plain, it's straightforward, it's simple. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Son always glorified his Father, as we've already said, and all that he did. Indeed, he prayed to that end. In John chapter 12 and verse 28, there we read, Father, glorify thy name. There's his prayer. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Father, glorify thy name. Would not the good, to quote the Savior's words, when we bow the knee in prayer, when we come before the Lord and pray in his name, wouldn't it be good for us to say, Father, glorify thy name by answering this prayer? It was always on the mind of the Savior, always upon the heart of the Savior, but certainly upon the heart and in the prayers of our great high priest. John 17 records what is known as the high priestly prayer of Christ. And the prayer begins with these words. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. The Lord always wanted to glorify his Father. And again, in the same chapter, verse 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have glorified thee on earth. For what we could say. We come to the end of our day. And the good that we were able to say, Father, I have sought. In all that I did, I sought to glorify. It's the purpose. When we pray, think of it this way. When we pray, the Lord has an opportunity to glorify the Father through the answer. It gives the Savior an opportunity to glorify His Father by answering our prayers. But if we don't pray, if we don't ask, then the Son was not afforded an opportunity to glorify the Father by answering. Think of that. When we pray, the dear Savior takes the opportunity to glorify the Father in the answer. There is the purpose, there is the prospect. The prospect of glorifying our Heavenly Father through our prayers being answered. But that not promise. Give more attention to the business of prayer. What did Paul say? Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. And that includes prayer. So when we come before God in prayer, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord has promised, that will I do. That the Father may be doing. Before thee. We recognize our feelings. And oh Lord, they are many. And yet, Lord, we've been told, exhorted, that whatsoever we do, we're to do it all to the glory of God. We're to live to glorify God. We're to pray to glorify God. I was, Lord, to give more attention to that great business of prayer. For Lord, the disciples did say, Lord, teach us to pray. And what many, many and wonderful and heart-searching lessons the Lord has given on this great subject. Oh Lord, have us to take to heart. Have us, Lord, not just today to hear the word and basically forget all about it, but to hear the word and to heed the word, that we might give ourselves to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Claiming thy promise, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Help us to live a life to glorify thee. Give us a prayer life that glorifies thee. Lord, be with us now this day. Keep thy hand upon us in our going out and coming.